Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. In the previous chapter, you must have studied the teaching on prayer. Jesus already talked about how to pray, how not to pray like hypocrites. And then he taught a model prayer also to his disciples, how to pray and bring our request to God. So a very good teaching on faith and prayer he has given so far. But he has given some other challenges also on the issue of serving God, not and not have two masters, not worry about many of these physical things, but seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added, will be given to us. Told us not to judge, but judge our own self and not judge others, and other things are taught. And now Jesus is turning and asking us to feel free to ask God and it will be given to us. Seek and we will find. Knock and the door will be opened to us. And that is followed by the promise, even at present time, everyone who seeks receives, everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the one who him to him who knocks the door will be opened. And so the promise is already followed by the challenge for us to pray. And this is a gift of God to us, a prayer that if we by faith ask him, he will do for us. Ask, seek, and knock actually summarizes our spiritual exercise with God in prayer. It brings us the importance of doing three things that are very, very crucial as we think of prayer and bring our request to God. First of all, when I think of the word ask, I think of humility, being poor in spirit. Jesus already promised in his blessed, in the statement of blessedness, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Asking is not easy, especially if you have it. If you have plenty of things, it's very difficult. In 1989 Love Europe conference, once I was in Love Europe OM program, I was there. And in one of the team Bible study, I was teaching about faith. And one girl from the West was in the team. And she said, it was very strange. She comes from very rich and powerful family. And she never had to pray to God for anything. And I couldn't imagine that situation. You know, you come from a country and a family which has lots of needs. And for everything we had to pray. For shoes we had to pray. For school uniform we had to pray. Tuition fee we had to pray. For the school bus we had to pray. For everything we had to ask God in prayer. And it brought enormous joy when God brought us greater than what we could afford by our means. And so I looked at the girl and realized how poor she was, that she did not realize. I wonder sometime if the poor people have a better faith than some of us who have something. There's an interesting book a few years ago that came out called The Next Christendom by Philip Jenkins. I don't know if some of you have read it. And very strange statement in that he's studying the phenomenon why churches are going down in the West in the first world, so-called first world, where in the history the foundation of Christianity was laid, the whole nations became Christian. Now it's going down. And in other part, which is called the global south, Latin America, Africa, and Asian countries, 1,000 churches are planted every week. You know, so what happens that churches are going down in some areas and churches are coming up in other areas? Philip Yancey, his statement, his quotation is there in that book. And Philip Yancey says, former editor of Christianity Today and author of several books, Philip Yancey says, "I have seen a strange phenomenon as I travel around the world, that God is going where he's wanted." You know, very interesting. God is going where he's wanted. When we have everything and we do not need God, we do not ask for his help, he doesn't come. And in other part of the world, people ask for his help all the time. I was in another church speaking in Edinburgh, and after the message, one of the pastors asked me, "If poor people are coming to Christ because you give them something, you give them food or clothes or education, or you pray for them and their prayers are answered, are they coming because of what they get?" You know, and I said, "Pastor, I don't know, because I looked at them and I realized that they have much more to give to me than I have to give to them." Another conference in Indonesia, I was there once, and it was a Transform World conference, and I was in a track called Poor, where some of us were discussing on poverty. And one businessman from the West was there, and he said, "In all of our ministries, we should teach the poor people to help other poor. They should help each other, you know." And I said, "I'm very sorry to disagree with you, but I worked all my life with poor, and I have found that poor are more generous than rich, you know." And he says, "I'm sorry, I have never worked with them. I was just speaking from my own knowledge." I said, "Yeah, the reason the poor survive in extreme poverty, partly because they share. Even in difficulty, at the end of the day, all people come together, and if somebody doesn't have, they give. That's how they survive. Otherwise, they won't be able to survive." In our office church in Lucknow, we started working in one slum, and lots of children started coming to our church. And we started a Sunday school, and through them, some of the parents came when they found out that we are praying for the sick and for people who do not have job or any problem, we pray. And so they started coming. They thought, "This is very exciting that we can ask God anything and he gives us." We've been working for last 3 years now. And one of the mother who came to Christ, whole family, she was giving testimony. And she said, "Since the church came to our slum, the crime has gone down completely. The gambling, the drinking, the fights, everything has stopped." And I couldn't believe that. You know, 3 years ago, after the church service, we had a prayer meeting, and only children came. No parents were there that time. And 90% of the children said, "Pray for my father or mother. They fight, or they don't get along well." And one girl, I remember, 5 or 6 year old, she said, "Pray for my father. He drinks too much. He doesn't work. My mother works, and he takes money from her, and he beats my mother. He beats us, and pray that God will change him." And I looked at her and I said, "Girl, do you?" I didn't say that. I just thought, has any alcoholic given up drinking just by telling him or praying? You know, but I said, "Well, since he was asking as a pastor, I must pray." And so I prayed, you know, and most of the children, they heard that prayer, and everybody said the same thing, you know. And after 3 years, now one of the mother is saying, it happened. And I didn't believe that. I said, "How can that happen?" You know, there is a problem with us that we don't believe even if we pray. You know, and sometimes I wonder whether it's my faith or their faith that works wonder. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given." But it's so difficult to ask, because there is something wrong in our hearts, in our attitude, in our thinking. Somehow, we struggle to ask. Is it our pride or something else that we think, "I can do it as long as I don't have to ask God"? One of the lady breaks my heart who comes to the church, very, very poor. You know, and once I was talking to her,
And I found out that she had a very strange name. So after the church service, once I asked her, who gave you such a name? No, her name is Akalpati. Akal is famine or scarcity. A woman of famine, that kind of name was given to her. So I said, who gave you that name? She said, sir, when I was young, all my siblings were dying. We were very poor family, and every brother or sister before me died. So our parents imagine that the gods, Hindu gods, like our children so much, so they are taking them away. As soon as they give, they take them away. So when I was born, they decided to give me a name which is disgusting, you know. So they said, let's call her Akalpati, a woman of nothing, woman of scarcity, of famine. And it worked. She didn't die. So she said, I survived in my family. I'm the only one who survived among my brothers and sisters. But listening to her story, I realized she was truly a woman of scarcity. At the age of 12, she was married. Very young. In India, you cannot marry a girl or younger than 19. But parents always see girls as a burden and get them married so that before they do anything stupid to shame the family and community, get them out. She got a drunkard husband who would not work. She used to work in different homes, cleaning and mopping and sweeping so that she can get some support. Try to run the family. She got one son. She wanted him to be educated, but husband made it very difficult. He will beat her almost every evening, take away whatever little money she has earned, go and drink, come late night drunk, again beat her, and the whole life was a hell kind of thing. Not just like her name, a woman of famine. The husband didn't live long because of bad lifestyle, and she was hoping that she can bring up the son and he can look after her. Unfortunately, the son turned out to be worse than the father and doing the same thing, whole day gambling, fighting with other friends and coming home in the evening when mother comes home, take money for drinking. If she doesn't give, beat his mother and take money. You know, she thought, let him get married so that his wife will improve him. No, a lot of people, parents think that wife will improve us, a man. Not easy. If the mother cannot improve, how can a wife improve us? He married and had four children, and again the wife got mad with him. Same thing he was doing, beating his wife and mother and children and everybody. And so one day his wife ran away. Left him with four children. And so now the grandmother had to look after her adult son and four grandchildren with her income. And such a difficult time. That time she was introduced to the church. Grandchildren started coming to the church. And every Sunday they brought her also saying, Grandma, come to church and they will pray to Jesus and Jesus will hear your prayers. So she started coming to the church. And an illiterate lady put her faith in Jesus. And I was amazed by her faith. Once I was preaching in the church on giving. And I, one of my point in the message was that the true giving is not giving until it hurts you. Okay, if you have plenty and you give a little bit, what is so great? The example of Jesus, of the widow giving two mites, is that giving is not true giving until you give by faith and it hurts you, you know. And this lady after the church service said, Pastor, I was so excited with the message and Jesus spoke to me and I put 100 rupees in the offering bag. And I was very shocked. You know, as a pastor, sometimes you preach and you have some people in mind. It's not a good for the pastor, no, but when you prepare a message, you have somebody in mind that God will speak to them. They have money, so they will give. And then you realize God speaks to somebody else who does not have money. And I almost told her, well, this message was not for you. Okay? You know, why did you give? We should not have, I mean, you are poor, four grandchildren. I did not expect you to give this money to the church. But she said, no, Jesus told me. Now, if Jesus tells her, what can I do? After a month, I was preaching on forgiveness. And I mentioned to the church, one of my points again, that true forgiveness reflects true faith in Christ. And if you cannot forgive, I'm afraid you are not forgiven. I'm afraid you are not born again. Because story after story and the Lord's Prayer, one statement in Lord's Prayer also shows that if I do not forgive, then God also will not forgive me. So I said, is there anybody, you claim to be Christian, you follow Jesus, you attend the church, is there anyone you are not forgiving? Please walk on it, because your whole life of faith can be questioned. After the Sunday service, she came to shake hand with me, would not give up my hand, and started weeping bitterly. She said, Pastor, this is the most difficult thing you have preached. My greatest enemy is my own son. She said, I wished he would be arrested, get away from home or die or whatever. But you are telling me today that I am not a true believer in Jesus if I do not forgive him. And you know, second time, I almost told her this message was not for you. I agree with you also. Let him be arrested, get away or die or something. You know, it's so difficult that you preach and people take it seriously. You know, that they believe it to be true. After a month, the youngest child came to church while I was entering the church and welcoming people. He said, Pastor, please come to my house. My eldest brother has died. You know, and I was shocked. I did not understand what he was saying. I said, what did you tell me? He said, my brother died by accident last night and my grandmother is crying. She is not able to come to church. Can you please come and pray for her? And I could not attend the worship. I could not enjoy the worship. I couldn't preach. You know, at the end of the service, I told, I am not going to go to her home. The whole community is upset that she is believing in Jesus. Now they will tell her, see, you believed in Jesus. Jesus took away your grandson, you know. And I was very sad. Four children she had, grandchildren. The eldest grandchild was 11-year-old boy, and he had started working in a tea shop. Because he was coming to the Sunday school, he felt so bad that grandmother was suffering like this. And he said, when I grow up, I will not allow my father to beat my grandmother. And he said, I will earn some money so that I can support my grandmother, so she doesn't have to work so hard in that old age. And she said, that's why he was working, not going to school, working in the tea shop whole day, 12 hours from early morning to late evening, so that she can earn some money. One evening, that Saturday night, he was coming back, an auto rickshaw hit him. He died on the spot. And you know, I have very rarely been upset with God. I said, God, there are 3 million people in Lucknow. You could have killed anybody in an accident. You know, why did you take away a son, the only guy who was earning some money to this woman? What are you trying to do? You know? And this is what makes working in the ministry very difficult, because his ways are not our ways are not his ways. And you don't even grasp it. After 30 years being in a ministry, you don't understand how it works. What are his ways? What are his methods of working? I told the church, if you are not coming, I'm not bold enough to go. The whole church went to her house in the slum. We prayed. The whole slum was so shocked that all people came to her house to comfort and pray for her. Next Sunday, her son, who never came to the church, came and attended the church, cried and said, Pastor, pray for me. I am one of the worst sinners in the world. And I said, it's okay. Jesus has a plan for you also. Continue to come to church. He got a job. And now he's helping, you know. Her whole family who had come from village for the funeral came to the church next Sunday. All of them wanted to hear about Jesus. And I thought, man, maybe so hard are his ways. But he knows how to work in the lives of people. But I am always amazed at the faith of these people. No, can't read Bible. Only spiritual input is what they hear on Sunday service or in the prayer meeting or Bible study they hear. And still, this is what is missing in us, no? I hope that God will give us that poverty of spirit, no matter how much money we have or don't have, that we will have that boldness to go to Jesus and ask him for help. The next two words, seek and knock, I noticed, expect some kind of effort from our side also. You know, while we are opposing the work salvation by works, it's very important to imagine, to understand that faith does require some work, which James and others encouraged us. Some efforts from our side. Solomon mentions a lazy person before whom the food is there and he's loath to pick up the bread and put in his mouth. You know, that kind of thing I hope prayer and faith doesn't make us do. Sick is something that we need to do. 6:33 mentioned already, seek his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. The problem is that we ask wrong things and then we seek wrong things in life and do not get fulfilled. But if we seek the right things, seek his righteousness, his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The kingdom of God is spreading in India. It's very, very exciting. GSCC, Good Shepherd Community Church itself plants one new church every other day. It's a massive challenge. Over 250 churches we are planting in a year. We can't train that many pastors. And so it's always a challenge in the work of God. You know, I have prayed sometime that God will slow down so that we can handle the work. But on the other hand, God cannot slow down because the world needs to be reached. I was looking at the OM archives. You know, we are celebrating 50th years of anniversary of OM in India. 64 OM came 2014. We will have 50 years. In 64, when they came to UP state, where I'm living, Lucknow and the state of Uttar Pradesh, UP, was 40 million people. One of the most unreached state in India that time. Now we have 200 million people. With 200 million people, UP state can become the fifth largest country of the world. Okay, so you imagine the numbers of people. India as a nation, we have 27 million people born every year. 12 million people die. And so we have a net increase of 15 million people every year. Nobody is reaching and winning 15 million people to Christ in a year. If we are not winning, that means church is going down. You know, we cannot keep up with the population growth. So even if thousands of people coming to Christ, it's nothing when millions are born and added in our country. And if God doesn't do something massive, massive, there is no hope for Christianity to reach our nation. You know, that discourages me. That really breaks my heart. I realize there are lots of people who are seeking help. In the UP state, we have 40 invitations to build schools. We have only 11 schools in last 11, 12 years. Only 11 schools, you know. So there are neither resources or people and management to run, the capacity to run a massive, massive projects. You know, how much need is there? Plenty of people are asking. There are so many groups who are asking for help, you know. I sometimes wonder also that we do not have to knock for the door to open because God opens so many doors for us and an enormous challenge. Last year we had a request from shepherds. A shepherd community in India is not Dalit. They are one step higher than Dalit, what's called backward caste. They are still poor and backward, but they are not untouchables. You know, and some of them had gathered in Delhi for a big rally, about 1,000 people gathering in front of the Indian Parliament and shouting slogans, we need English education, help us with English education, we have not developed, even though we are higher than Dalits, we are worse than Dalits economically. One of the Dalit leader was there in the meeting and he went to them and he's saying, why do you go to government? They will not help you. You need to go to OM. And they said, who is OM? We have never heard about OM. So they gave them my phone number saying there is a guy called Moses in Lucknow. You call him and he will help you. So on that day, they made a phone call. Now, I live in Lucknow, which is 500 kilometers southeast of Delhi. But in the providence of God, I was in Delhi. We had some baptism in that church, pastor was not ordained, so they asked me to go and order, baptize people. So I was there in the church, and when they called me, I was in that church, in Good Shepherd Church in Delhi. So I told them, I'm here in the church. I gave the address. I said, please come. So from All India Shepherd Society, a treasurer and a general secretary came to see me in the church. And they were so happy to see the church and fellowship. And they said, what do you do for Dalits? They told us that you help them. I said, yes, in 2001, they asked us for English medium school. And so in last 10 years, we have built 107 schools. We have 30,000 Dalit children now studying in our school. And they said, this is exciting. You know, what do we have to give you to build schools? I said, you don't have to give us anything. You invite us, open the door for us, gather community leaders, introduce us to them, and we will do the rest of the thing. They said, this is great. Why didn't you come to us earlier? You know, you started this in 2001, now 2012, last year they met. Why didn't you come to us? I said, sir, we are very busy, and 250 million Dalit is a big program, and we are not able to reach them. The general secretary said, isn't it true that when your Jesus was born, that the first good news was sent to the shepherds? Now these are the shepherds telling. I said, yeah, well, I'm sorry. Yes, it is true. Actually, the only group that was invited for birthday party was shepherds. Nobody else. Angels went specially outside the city to bring them in while most of the city was sleeping. Nobody knew that the Savior was born. They said, then you should have come to us first. Why did you go to Dalits? I said, I'm sorry. Well, it's not too late. I said, we can still do something. So tell us what to do. They said, why is your church called Good Shepherd Church? Okay. I said, well, in the providence God, I don't know why we decided to call Good Shepherd. But I said, in the Bible, Jesus said, I'm the Good Shepherd. That's why. Wow. Did really Jesus say that he is a good shepherd? Did he say he's a shepherd? I said, yeah. So he looks at his friend and says, see, we are shepherd, Jesus is shepherd. What is good shepherd? He said, well, there are two kinds of shepherd, Jesus said. One shepherd sees a danger coming and he leaves the sheep, runs away to save his own life. But the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And Bible teaches that we are the sheep and he is the shepherd. And he died for us. He said, oh, that is the meaning of the cross. Many places I have seen in Delhi church with Jesus on the cross. I said, yeah, that is the meaning. He is the good shepherd and he died for his sheep. They said, this is so exciting. What else Jesus said about himself? So I gave 7 I ams. You know, they said, this is what our people need. Can you come and teach? I said, wow, thank you for asking. How many shepherds are there in India? They said 10% of Indian nation is shepherd. You know, and I was shocked. I called my leaders and said 250 million were not easy to reach and not enough to reach. So now God says you can have 120 million more people to reach. You know, amazing. You know, now how can you do it without asking, seeking and knocking the door? Because God gives something on your plate much more than you can handle. That's why we need partnership with Holland Road Baptist Church. Thank you for standing with us. Seeking and knocking also talks about persistence. We need to continually persist and not give up. You know, again, with the poor and younger generation of believers, sometime I learned this. One of our team was in one village in North India and a city called Hardoi in UP. And they went to a juvenile, boys juvenile home, where there were about 60 minor boys who had committed some crime and were locked up for help. And so they went to this. Our team has a literature and film. They go to different villages and show Jesus film. And so they went to the director of this center saying, can we show Jesus film in this center? They had a building there, a compound and a ground, and all 60 boys in the afternoon were playing football and running around. And so the director was standing. So our team went there and said, can we show the film? And he says, no, this is not possible. This is a government center. We have cannot have any religious activity. So I'm sorry, I cannot allow you to show Jesus film in our center. While they were talking, one of the boy who was playing there had an epileptic attack and fell down, started foaming and on the ground. And there was panic. There was no resident doctor. They didn't have a vehicle to take him to the hospital. And so everybody was running around and gathered there around that boy. Our team brothers went to the director and saying, can we pray for him? I was amazed at their faith. You know, I don't know how many of us are bold to say, can we pray in the times of crisis? What if God doesn't do anything? The director was in panic. He didn't know. So he said, yeah, do whatever you know you can do, do. So the brothers gathered around, put their hands on this boy, prayed for him. So he got up. Now the team turns to the director and said, sir, we were talking about this film. Can we show the film in the center? And he says, yeah, I mean, we can show, but you know, this is a government center. We have to ask the superior for permission and it takes time. So while they were talking, the boy again fell. So he said, no, go and pray for him. So now the brothers went and prayed for him and he got up. So, sir, can we show the film here? He said, sure, why not? Show the film. Who cares about the rules and regulations? Show the film here. You know, 5 years ago they showed the film and few of the boys were touched. And the director was so excited. He said, can you come every week and teach your Bible to this student? Last 5 years, the Bible study is going on. The superintendent of all prisons in that district heard about it. His wife called the team saying, my husband is sick, can you pray for him? So they went and prayed for the superintendent of prisons. And he said, I heard so good reports about your work. Why are you going only to one prison? Why don't you go to other prisons? So our team started going to men's prison, women's prison. And it was a heartbreaking scene in many of these places. So many people have come to Christ. But it all started by one young, untrained boy going to the director and say, can I pray for this? Can we pray for this boy? You know, and God did an amazing thing, you know. I hope and pray that the people of God will have faith and a grace to believe God to do this. It's amazing. When this portion was given to me, I was wondering why the golden rule is clubbed with this request for prayer. Jesus said, in 12th verse, he says, so in everything do to others what you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. You know, I was wondering why Jesus would do this, put this together. And then studying this and thinking through, I realized that this is a test of my faith and my prayer, of how I will deal with others. It's very interesting, isn't it, that the Lord's Prayer is not using me. Give me my daily bread. Forgive me as I forgive others. No, the word used is us. It's a corporate prayer. It's not a personal prayer. So give us our daily bread. What the need that we have, we pray together. And strangely, in our society, God gives something to me for others. This is a difficult thing. You know, if God gave me everything that is for me, it would be much easier life. But I realize, I tell my wife and children, everything God gives us is not for us. Some of it is for others. And he is watching us from heaven whether we will share that with others or not. All the prophet and the law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is how it can be done. What do you want for yourself? Want it for others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, the love, the forgiveness, the faith cannot have a meaning if it is very, very personalized. You know, and so that is why we not only pray alone in our home, but we pray together. Because we want righteousness, the kingdom of God, and all the blessing for all of us. And not just for one of us or just for myself. You know, I hope prayer and seeking and knocking and asking doesn't turn you a selfish person. Many years ago, I read the story of Shoeshine Boy. And I was very, very, very surprised, shocked with that truth. In the Bombay slum, some church had started working with the slum, street children. And they were coming to Sunday school. And one of the boy was doing earning money through shoe shine, polishing the shoes of other people. He used to sit under the bridge with other friends, and they will go every morning and then come back and help his parents with whatever money he earned. One day he was singing a song while polishing the shoes. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And other friends asked him, what is the meaning of this song? He said, this says that if I believe in God, whatever needs I have, he will meet. And so they said, but your needs are not met. He said, yeah, that is true. So he said, I'll ask my Sunday school teacher. He went and asked Sunday school teacher that this song I learned, but my friends are asking me that my needs are not met. She said, yeah, continue to pray and believe God and someday it will be met. And so he went back 2 months, 3 months, 6 months passed, and he's singing this song. And one day his friends ask him, 6 months passed, your needs are not met. You said God will supply your needs, but your needs are not supplied. And he said, yeah, it's very sad. God has already supplied my need, but those who got it are not sharing it with me. You know, and I was very shocked with that, because I realized suddenly that when God gives me something, he wants me to make sure. The world lives in poverty. Majority world lives in poverty. In India, only 15% people have their own homes. 85% people do not have their own homes. You know, and worldwide, it's amazing poverty. 50% of Indians live below poverty line. If you don't have 2 meals a day, you live below poverty line. And so I would like to buy a TV or a fridge or things like that. You know, and I think they are genuine need. But then when I looked at my neighbors, they don't even have 2 meals a day. Then I need to think through this. I would want them to do good unto me. And so I also must do. So when I ask, I seek and I knock, I need to make sure that it's not just for me, it's for my family, people in Christ. You know, unfortunately, the world is poor, but even church is very poor around the world. You know, and I do not understand. I have asked OM that I go to UK, USA, Canada quite often. I would also like to go to Sudan, Ethiopia, and many other countries. And in India also, some parts of India, I want to see where God's people are very poor. And I want to see how God manages this. You know, what is God thinking about it? But I also want to think how I manage it, how I think about it. Let's pray that our faith will be real and not private, selfish, but it will be a faith of a church, of a fellowship, of a family of God, that we will seek, ask, and knock for us, all of us. And we will pray that God will give us that poverty in spirit, a desire to work, and persistent in asking and sharing what God has given us. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for your grace and goodness upon us, Lord. Thank you for your guidance, Lord. Thank you for your wisdom through the Spirit, Lord. And we pray that you will continue to guide. Thank you for enormous promises, Lord, that many of the people of the world get shocked that we have a promise already written here in black and white. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And already those who are asking, receiving, and those who are seeking are already finding, Lord. We pray that the world will hear it and come, Lord. Through our lives they will see that we have a God and we have a great promise from him, Lord, a God who cannot lie. But we pray also that you will give us that spirit of sharing and caring for other people, Lord, that sometime when they pray, you give to us instead of giving to them, Lord, so that we will share with them, and that there is equality in your family, Lord. Continue to guide and use us, Lord. Continue to help Holland Road Baptist Church, Lord, Pastor David and other leaders, Lord. We pray that you'll continue to meet their needs in this church, Lord, so that it will be overflowing and they will be able to share with people around the world, not just in India, but here in UK and many other nations, Lord, will hear the good news of God. Continue to guide and use us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.